listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. And joining us today, Kristen Palpini, reporter with the Berkshire Eagle, and Chris Collins, columnist with the Greenfield Recorder. Welcome to you both.
Hi, thanks.
Hi, thanks.
This week, the Massachusetts Cannabis Control Commission spent a lot of time discussing policy as it works to come up with regulations for the state's marijuana industry. It gave preliminary approval to so-called cannabis cafes, where people can buy and consume marijuana. The board also agreed on the strength and form of edibles. Commissioner Jen Flanagan said that was of particular interest to her.
Certainly, we understand that the edibles are a big part of this industry, and my concern and my interest has been so that it's not appealing to minors.
So, Kristen, is the commission headed in the right direction with all of this?
I think so. I mean, I think that a cap on the content of edibles was just, it was going to happen. That was just something that, you know, Stan Rosenberg had talked about since day one. And so, you know, it's a responsible thing to do. How to make it less appealing to kids? I don't think edibles are more or less appealing than the regular old marijuana, so I don't know how that would work.
Chris, the panel also talked about allowing home delivery of pot and making it legal for massage therapists to use in a lotion form and even in restaurants. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, if you're going to have home delivery, how are you going to keep it away from kids if you're really concerned about it? That's the real issue here. But I think, yeah, look, you're going to see all kinds of cottage industries pop up with this particular substance becoming legal. And I just think home delivery may be a little too far.
Yeah, you can't do it with alcohol here for a reason.
Yeah.
'Tis the season for holiday parties, but not on Beacon Hill. Acting Senate President Harriet Chandler canceled this year's Senate party, saying it would not be appropriate. This is a move that seems at least to be related to the scandal around Amherst Democrat Stan Rosenberg and his husband, Brian Hefner. Hefner is accused of sexual misconduct, and now the FBI is looking into whether Hefner offered to trade political favors for sexual ones. Chris, you wrote about this recently in The Recorder about Rosenberg, and you've covered him for a long time. Can you share your reflections about the Amherst Democrat?
I'm pretty blown away by this whole thing. I mean, of all the people to get caught in a sex scandal, Stan Rosenberg, but you know, he got a little bit of a gift. He got taken off the front page this past week by another senator, former Senator Brian Joyce. And I mean, if you want to compare corruption scandals or scandals in general, I mean, what Joyce did is 20 times worse than what Rosenberg's husband is accused of, or his connection to his husband being is accused of. I just think that may be another reason why the Senate decided to pull back, because they've got two high-profile cases, one of a state senator who is using his office as pretty much as a dirty money ATM, and another one where you got a guy whose husband may or may not have tried to cash in on his influence. It's an ugly time right now for the Senate.
Brian Joyce, of course, is facing a 100-plus count federal indictment. Kristen, you also worked in Rosenberg's district for a time. What do you think about all of this?
I'm with Chris. I was surprised. I remember when I saw it on the cover of the newspaper, and I was just shocked, and I picked it up, and I had to read the whole thing because I was like, Stan? No. Not Stan freaking Rosenberg.
Exactly.
That's from Chris's column. But, you know, Brian Hefner has shown these colors before. In 2014, right before Stan became the president, he was accused of, you know, running around saying he'd have this great influence. And you know, Stan said there would be a firewall then between his office and his personal life. But it doesn't look like that happened.
And by the way, I don't think he gets that office back. The question now is, can he stay in office? And does he run for re-election next year? And if he does run for re-election next year, will he face a challenger? I mean, this guy's been one of the political untouchables in this part of the state for a long time, and now he's a wounded duck. I mean, his credibility is never going to quite be the same again.
I think he can come back as at least a senator. People love him here still.
Exactly. I'm hoping that's the case.
I guess it depends on that investigation, really.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
The discussion into possible school consolidation continues in Berkshire County. With rising costs to go along with sagging population and enrollments, the Berkshire Education Task Force earlier this year suggested creating one large countywide district. Many current school boards have taken up the discussion. In fact, one, Berkshire Hills, left the task force over all of this. Kristen, you wrote about this recently. Is this idea gaining any traction?
I'm going to say no. What it is doing, though, is it's making the school districts kind of look to their neighbors and say, well, maybe we can, you know, consolidate and collaborate a little bit more, which, I mean, honestly, they're already doing quite a bit. If the school districts in Berkshire County were a family tree, it would be a forest of intermingling branches. But this whole single county or a single district idea I can't imagine it flying with the people there who really love their schools and their towns, and that really would be at risk if it was a single district.
I'm not sure how logistically that would work, too. Mm. And it's geographically. I mean, you know, you're talking about a lot of bus miles, but it's the same thing is happening in Franklin County in a lot of rural districts where enrollment is down. There's empty school buildings. It's happening in the Mohawk School District right now. There's a lot of discussion about creating one big school, and East Hampton's talking about it as well. So it's just one of those things that's out there, and there's no easy solution, but the folks working together is always a good thing.
Yeah.
13 states are suing Massachusetts over a voter-approved law which will ban the sale of eggs and meat from some animals kept in small cages. The states, which are led by Indiana, say it's not fair to many of their farmers who could be shut out of the Massachusetts market come 2022. Opponents say it violates federal law, while supporters claim the state has the right to do as it wishes. Chris, is this something that Massachusetts needs to take another look at?
You know, come on. I mean, buy your eggs somewhere else. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, you're going to sue a state because of a policy change that people wanted. It's crazy. But, you know, litigation is the way things go right now. Should they take another look at it? I don't think so. Why bother? You know, the state made a decision to go in this direction. They should honor it.
Kristen?
I agree, but I don't think that's what'll happen. I think that it makes sense for the people who are, you know, selling eggs that came out of cage-raised animals. That they would want to fight this right now so that it doesn't spread further. They want to nip it in the bud. And they might, you know, be able to do it. There are laws and court cases that the Supreme Court has, you know, upheld Congress's right to kind of swoop in and mess with things like this. So, and look who we have in Congress. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
All right, Kristen Palpini of the Berkshire Eagle and Chris Collins with the Greenfield Recorder. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Adam.
And thank you, our loyal listeners, to the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.